everybody. This is Mickey Rape. You're welcome to The Ride Home. This is a podcast where we join other leaders in exploring all things fellowship, the scriptures, change life stories, interviews, social issues, and anything else the Spirit might lead us to ponder. The goal of The Ride Home podcast is to encourage others to draw near to God, knowing, as James 4:8 tells us, He will draw near to us. And we are blessed today to have Stuart Horner with us. And Stuart, welcome.
Thanks very much, Mickey. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and if you can't tell, he has a bit of an accent, or maybe it's all of us who have an accent.
Yeah, Mickey, I thought you had the accent. I left mine at home, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and home for Stuart is Northern Ireland. We are so blessed to have him here visiting with us this weekend, and I said, we just got to get Stuart on a podcast to tell us all about the C.S. Lewis Institute in Northern Ireland, and so Stuart is going to fill us in on that, but first of all, we want to get to know you, Stuart, so tell us about yourself, tell us about your family, and just fill us in.
Sure. Well, thanks, Mickey, for having me here. It is my second visit to Northwest Arkansas. I was here back in 2018.
It's amazing. You came back.
I know. Well, you treated me so well, so I thought okay. I had to come back. So I was staying with Royce and Susan Johnson.
Yes.
Who were the founders of the C.S. Lewis Institute in Belfast. And they have come back to Northwest Arkansas, and they have left me holding the baby back home in Belfast. Mickey, but that's okay. I'm actually a Belfast boy, so I'm from Belfast. My dad was a worker in the shipyard. He's a welder there, and I grew up in Belfast. I grew up in the Troubles, so that was a difficult time in Northern Ireland's history.
Yeah.
So for about 30 years, we had that issue going on, and it really did dominate my childhood and my early years. Thankfully, I'm married now to my lovely wife, Laura, who's at home with our two children, Grace, who's 16, and Cherith, who's 12. And we have a dog called Juno. And the great thing for me, Mickey, is for many years when the Troubles were on, we had many Christians praying that the Lord would bring peace to our land. And although it's not perfect, the Lord has answered that prayer. And I'm glad to say that my children know very little about the Troubles.
That's good.
And that's a real blessing. And it's something that I'm deeply grateful to the Lord for. But having said that, I had a great time growing up in Belfast. I went to school there. I went to university, to Queen's University in Belfast, where I studied law. And that's where I met my wife. So Laura and I, our eyes met across a tutorial while we were doing jurisprudence. Doesn't sound the most romantic thing in the world, Mickey, but two lawyers got married and we were together for dating for about 7 years, and then we got married, and wasn't long after we were married, I was working for a pretty big law firm in Belfast, and enjoying that. And then our children came along, and that was great. Our first girl, Grace, came along, and then after a while we had the 2008 crash. I don't know if you remember that, but so that was a big deal back home. So that was a really worrying time, and people were losing their jobs, Mickey. And after about a year, the bosses came to me and said, Stuart, listen, either you take a package and go, or you take a pay cut and stay. Mm. And it was one of those, I'm sure you have many people have had crises of faith in their lives, Mickey, or crises in their lives. And that, I guess that was the first one for me. I had my first crisis, but I prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, what am I going to do here? And 24 hours later, I had a complete peace. Hmm. I was going to set up my own legal practice. That's exactly what I did, Mickey. So we set up my own legal practice. And for 5 years, Horner Solicitors was incorporated in Belfast. And great time of the Lord providing and blessing. And eventually, I sold my practice into a larger firm. And things were going well. And then I hit 40.
To be 40 again.
Yeah, I think that sometimes too. And I thought, Lord, is this what you want for me to do with the rest of my life? Mm. I mean, I had a great friend, my best friend, actually. He was a partner in a law firm in Belfast. He was a good Christian guy. And
you were at that halftime stage, weren't you?
Well, maybe so. But there was something, there was an uneasiness in my spirit, I suppose, Mickey. And I really wanted to explore that. I said, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And I remember sitting at a cafe in Belfast with this good friend of mine who was a lawyer in Belfast and a partner in a firm and saying, I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do. It's great for you. And I can see that that's exactly what the Lord wants you to be doing. But is it for me? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? And I went from that meeting to another coffee at the Europa Hotel in Belfast. Interesting fact, the most bombed hotel in Europe. But we still went there for coffee because the coffee was good, Mickey, you know.
You can take your chances when the coffee's good. You can take your chances.
And I went there and I met another friend, because that's the life of a corporate lawyer. You just go from a lunch to a coffee and, you know, so on. And I met with a friend and he gave me a brochure for the C.S. Lewis Institute Fellows Program. And he said, you know, these two Americans have come over from Arkansas and they've started this C.S. Lewis Institute Fellows Program here in Belfast. It's not for me, but I think it's for you. And this was a good Christian friend. And that for me was the beginning of an amazing journey with the C.S. Lewis Institute Fellows Program.
And now you're the director.
Yeah, well, that took a little longer, Mickey. So the first thing I did was applied and I got accepted. I remember meeting Royce Johnson. He interviewed me at a little Italian restaurant on Great Victoria Street in Belfast. And right off the bat, I knew I want more of what he has.
Yeah.
And I want to be involved in this.
I think a lot of people have had that experience with Royce and Susan Johnson.
You know, Royce is not an easy man to say no to.
Yeah. No.
So as we got to know him and Susan over the years, they embody what being a disciple of Jesus is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that can be taught in a little way, but it can be caught even better.
Yeah.
And I think disciple making is best when it's modeled well.
Yeah.
And Royce and Susan modeled it well.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It was our privilege to be with you all in 2019 mm-hmm. for a weekend when the torch was passed to you
yeah.
before Royce and Susan came back to the States.
Yeah.
And I absolutely fell in love with the people, with the C.S. Lewis Institute, the fellows that you had that year. And I say the fellows who were there that year. Tell us about the program and
sure.
how things work.
Sure. Yeah, so it's a year-long discipleship and apologetics program. It's about discipleship because that's what the Great Commission is, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded, and I'll be with you even to the end of the age. And that's what the fellows program does. It teaches us everything that Jesus commanded. So we take a year to do that. C.S. Lewis once said, he said, Christianity, if it's false, it's of no importance. If it's true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing that it cannot be is moderately important. And the idea of getting people beyond just run-of-the-mill Christian life and maybe just going along to church and once on a Sunday and that's it. Don't open their Bible, don't pray, don't do anything like that. Well, that's not what discipleship is about. It's about whole-of-life discipleship. And then also it's an introduction to apologetics. So another thing C.S. Lewis said, he said, I believe Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not just because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. And it's about having that confidence in the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's existence, the truth of the Christian worldview. And that's an introduction to apologetics. So that's what this year-long program is. The first half of it is discipleship. So learning more about deepening our relationship with Christ. And the second half is about apologetics.
Yeah.
And then we finish with our disciple-making plans for the year.
Well, and when you mention apologetics, that might make some who are listening to this say, oh, it's a really, really deep program. Well, it is deep, but you reach all demographics of the society. And that was one thing that really impressed me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have people who are, yes, we do have lawyers and doctors and, people from that end. But we have, we have bakers and, folk who are housewives or retired folk. So there's a whole range. And we have people in their 20s and people in their 70s and everywhere in between. And it's a wonderful blend, I think, of the whole Christian church. And of course, we're using materials. It's not just about C.S. Lewis, although a lot of C.S. Lewis's books are there, you know, Mere Christianity, The Great Divorce, Screwtape Letters, some of those great things that we look at, but also great theologians like Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, Tim Keller, and Max Lucado, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So there's a lot of books and materials that have been really well curated, but also there's a real focus on the Bible.
Yeah.
Mickey, so every month we're doing deep Bible studies. And we're not just doing that on our own with this great material. We're doing it with a mentor who walks this journey with us. And I think that's a real key aspect of the C.S. Lewis Fellows Program. The fact that you have a spiritual mentor who will walk with you on your journey, meet with you every month, talk about what the Lord's teaching you, what he's doing in your life and helping you along on that journey. And for me, Mickey, that was something I hadn't experienced before. Mm-hmm. I came to faith very young. I was 7 when I asked the Lord to be my savior. And I served the Lord in many ways as I was growing up and so on. But that was the first time in my Christian life that I had someone who was meeting with me on a monthly basis. And the only reason we were meeting was to talk about my spiritual life, to talk about what the Lord was doing in me and what I was learning from all these great books that I was reading, and also the great speakers that we got to hear. And we get some, well, Royce and Susan were responsible for this, but helping us get great speakers, not just from Northern Ireland, but also from America. And that's, of course, where Fellowship Bible Church has come in and helped us so greatly over the years. So we started off with Sam and Amy Hannon, and they did a great job. In fact, they've been twice and we're asking them back again this year, you know, because we just can't get enough of Sam and Amy. Yeah. So that was our first little foray. And then, of course, we had Robert Cupp, and Robert did such an amazing job. He did one of our commissioning. So we finish our year with a commissioning and, you know, sending our disciples out and with their disciple-making plans. And that was really good. And then, of course, you and Denise came and you did that retreat year with us. I wanted to ask you how you found being down at Murlock House, down in the mountains of Mourne, down by the sea.
It was beautiful. Mm. It was beautiful. What an experience. But even as beautiful as that was, the people were more beautiful. I enjoyed so much the relationships with the fellows and seeing the intentionality you had in their spiritual growth. Mm. And in that setting, everything was just perfect. We enjoyed the time with you, and it was a real blessing to be with you there in Northern Ireland.
Well, Mickey, it was our blessing and privilege to have you. I mean, normally we have our speakers. Not many of them sing. So it was a real pleasure to have you. And you didn't just sing, Mickey, you worshipped. Mm-hmm. And that was a really blessed time. Because again, another aspect of the Fellows Program is to have that retreat weekend, to go away together and to meditate on, to reflect, to share one another's lives. So I don't know, in your church, do you give testimonies? It's something that we do. Mm-hmm. We share our spiritual journeys with one another, so that we know where we're coming from. And we find that's a real bonding experience, particularly if you do it in a retreat setting.
Yes.
So then you get to know that actually I'm on this year with my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And they also have that deep desire to go deeper into the relationship with Christ. So we find that is a real, real formative stage. And then also Fellowship Bible Church has been kind enough to send us Susan Addington. Mm-hmm. So she came just early, well, towards the end of last year. It was November. We're looking forward to welcoming Karen Trumbo.
Yes.
So Karen Trumbo is due to come next month. So we're very much looking forward to that as well, because you guys have sent such great people. The one person that I really feel sorry for is Nick Rowland. So Nick, I met when I first came here, and he was such a great apologist. I thought we have to have Nick on our Fellows Program. And in April 2020, Nick was due to come. Pandemic hit.
Pandemic.
So, but he did a great job on Zoom. Fantastic. And we said, you know what? Hold on to your ticket and we'll have you back next year. April 2021, pandemic. Yeah. And then he couldn't come. So he still did a great job on Zoom. But there is something about having you guys with us in person. There's so much that can be taught, and that's great. But a lot of the Christian life needs to be caught. And that can be done when folk are together. And we really appreciate having the time together with you guys.
You all just love our Southern accent. That's where you like.
Can't get enough of it. you do need to speed up a bit, Lou Mickey. You know, come on. You have to, you know.
You know, one thing I love about the program and what you do is the intentionality.
Yeah.
When someone comes into the program, they're not floundering. They're not wondering, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. You all have it lined out. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And this is what we're, when we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. Who sets sure. that order and yeah. all that?
The program has been put together over many years by a great guy called Tom Tarrance. Tom Tarrance has an amazing testimony story, going from a guy who was in the KKK to being a guy who was transformed by Jesus and just has led an amazing life. But anyway, he was the president of the C.S. Lewis Institute for a while, and he curated the program. So he thought, well, what is it that Jesus has taught? So in the Great Commission, when Jesus talks about, teach them to obey everything I have commanded, what is everything I have commanded? What is that? So he started every month. There is a topic or a theme, and all of your Bible studies, all of your listening, all of your teaching, all of your discussions are about that topic. So whether it's receiving God's grace, understanding true conversion, living a life of love and obedience, humility, being transformed by Scripture, which is what Sue Annington taught us about, pursuing God's call in your life, which is what Karen Trumbo is going to teach us about, all the good stuff that you taught us at retreat. So each month, there are readings about that, and it's not just from C.S. Lewis. As I say, it's from some of these other great Christian writers, classic Christian texts, and also speakers. So it's not just books. You would have audio and video and lots of things to learn that way. We also look at movies. So last month we were looking at The Blind Side, which is a movie about... They said it was football, but they didn't kick the ball with their foot. They seemed to throw it a lot. but basically taking this story and how can we watch something like that and then take everything that we have been learning and learn a little bit more about what it means to live a life of love and obedience. So lots of different ways to learn. But the great thing is having this mentor to walk along with us, having a little small group, we call them microgroups. So
right.
two or three other fellows you meet with every month say, hey, how are you getting on with your reading? I didn't really understand that guy, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. What on earth was he talking about? Or, you know what? I really love what C.S. Lewis was saying about this. Or I really enjoyed my Bible study. So you're sharing and you're going along this journey with others. So what we're learning is the Christian life isn't a lone wolf exercise. You've got to do it in community. You've got to do it with people who also have that spiritual hunger. And that's the number
Absolutely.
One. That is the number one qualification for a fellow in the Fellows Program. Yeah. Well, first of all, you've got to be a born-again believer. But second of all, you've got to have that spiritual hunger.
Yeah. And that's what we see in our church. We're made up of community groups. We're not a church with a community group program. Mm-hmm. It's what we call them, community groups or small groups. But we're a church made up of community groups. Mm-hmm. That small group experience is so important. And you all do such a great job with the discussions, the questions, everything you have. That's what I'm talking about with the intentionality. Someone can jump into a group and they're not wondering, okay, what do I do? You all have it laid out mm-hmm. for them very well. Mm-hmm. What has happened in the last 2 years to the C.S. Lewis Institute during the pandemic? I know we have all had to adjust and pivot and then adjust in a different direction and then pivot again. How has it affected you?
Well, the first thing was Nick Rowland couldn't come to see us. So that was a big downside. But then we discovered Zoom.
Yeah.
And actually, I would describe it as a lifeline or life support. You don't want to be on it forever. But when you're in a tight spot, it actually works pretty well. And I think particularly for those early months of the pandemic, I don't know what it was like in America, but when we were locked down in the United Kingdom, it was quite isolating. And I think having the opportunity to come together in a Zoom call, I think people really look forward to that. Now, obviously, as the pandemic went on, people got a wee bit fed up with Zoom, understandable. But at that time, it really was a blessing. Another thing that we started to do, Mickey, we used to have monthly prayer meetings. But during lockdown, we had Zoom prayer meetings every week. And we prayed for a breakthrough in the pandemic. We prayed for serendipitous breakthroughs for a vaccine and so on, because we didn't know whether there was going to be a vaccine or anything like that. And we asked for the Lord's deliverance from this in whatever form that he wanted that to be. And the Lord somehow miraculously continued to bless us with fellows and mentors, because we did think, oh no, maybe people won't sign up for this for next year because of the pandemic and so on. But actually, we've had full classes the whole way through. And, and the Lord's been so gracious in blessing us with fellows and mentors. We're not a big ministry by any stretch of the imagination. We disciple somewhere between 24 and 40 each year. That's been our pattern since 2016 when we started. But we find that that quality time together and that kind of small group and gathering that small group of people who will intentionally walk this journey together, even in a pandemic, was such a blessing. And hearing some of the stories of the people who did it in the pandemic, because we realized that a big part of the fellows program is being with each other, and we just couldn't do that. So we had to think around it. So as well as Zoom, we had our mentor meetings out in the open. So it meant getting out into the good old open air in Northern Ireland, which is great, actually. We have lots of nice lochs and rivers and beaches to walk along. So that was fine. That suited people getting out.
You're saying all that, and it's making people want to go right now.
Well, they're very welcome. But I did remember I had a mentoring meeting with the guy that I was mentoring, Michael. And Michael and I agreed to take a walk along place where you have been, Carrickfergus.
Yes, beautiful.
We went along the Marine Highway just beside the castle there. But here's the thing, Mickey. It was blowing a gale. The rain was going sideways, and we huddled together in a little sort of pizza place, eating it outside, and we were laughing with each other because we knew what a mentoring meeting was supposed to look like, and that wasn't what a mentoring meeting was supposed to look like. But in some ways, you know, looking back on it now, it did kind of bring us together, and we had a bit of a laugh about it, and we realized, listen, the Christian life isn't smooth.
No.
Life isn't smooth. But the Lord is with us in all of these things, and he is a redemption specialist. He can take even difficult situations and somehow bring them round for good.
Yeah.
And even though some of these things are intended for evil, he can bring them round for good. And that was our experience through the pandemic. And in fact, many of the fellows did say having a structured course to guide their reading, to guide their Bible studies, to guide their praying, that really formed a structure during the pandemic that really helped them in their spiritual journey, because, you know, it could be quite easy to be isolated.
Right.
It could be quite easy to go off track and, you know, just watch endless Netflix or whatever. But having this focus, having this anchor, if you like, the spiritual anchor during that time of storm, I think a lot of people benefited from that.
Yeah. They took mere Christianity and they went deep.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
How many fellows have gone through C.S. Lewis Institute there in Belfast since its beginning?
We're over 200 now, Mickey. Okay. So it's been, as I say, somewhere between 24 and 40 every year. We're not quite equipped to do more than that at the minute, But again, I think the only way you can measure how people have been getting on when they've been through the program is to hear what they have to say. And you met some of these people. Do you mind if I just read? There are one or two folk who have shared what the Fellows Program meant to them.
No.
I would be delighted to share that with you, if that's okay.
I would like for you to do that. But there's a point I wanted to make in this. You've had 200 people go through the program, but because of your intentionality of what they do after they leave the program, you all have multiplied. You've multiplied the influence of believers across Northern Ireland. And when I pray for you all, that's what I pray. I pray for those fellows who've gone through the program, that God is bringing people into their path. And so I feel like the influence of the Fellows Program in Northern Ireland is probably much bigger than anyone realizes.
Yeah, and we just leave it in the Lord's hands. But one of the things that we are very intentional about is at the end of the Fellows Program, every fellow has to do a disciple-making plan. It's not just about what you have learned, but what are you going to do with this now? Now that you're coming out the other end, what is your plan? Now, we all know that best-led plans can, you know, be blown off course, but nevertheless, what is your intention to do with this? And we've seen people do some wonderful things, like setting up their own discipleship groups in their own churches. We've seen people go to the mission field. We have one of our fellows went back to Canada as a pastor there. We have some people who are pastors in Northern Ireland now who have gone through the Fellows Program, or with people who have gone back to their day jobs, if you like, and which they never left, but with an intentionality to bring Jesus into everything, to stop that separation between the secular and the sacred, and to make sure that they can bring Jesus into whatever it is they're doing. And that is our hope, because that's the plan. That is the Great Commission.
Yeah.
You know, to transform these disciples, and then for these disciples to be disciple makers. And it does take that intentionality, and it does take the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. But we have to be in cooperation with the Holy Spirit in order to bring forth that fruitfulness in our lives.
Well, tell us some of their wonderful stories.
Well, this one's from Annette, and she says, "I came to this course knowing that I wanted to learn more about God, but I got so much